We're looking at our next empty item of the Bible. And this empty item talks about a moment of desperation in a household. And the emptiness of these this item that we're going to look at tonight brought great blessing upon that home. So the emptiness of that item proved how desperate the situation was at home, and the emptiness of that item was also used by God to bring a great blessing upon that home as well. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut up the door and thee upon thy sins, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sins, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and the children of the rest. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together this evening. We thank you for the way in which you hear our cry, Lord. We thank you for answered prayer in our lives. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together as a church. And we pray that you'd speak to our hearts today, Lord. We pray for each and every pastor that is standing behind their pulpits, Lord, and trying to minister to their churches in such a time of difficulty, Father. And we pray that you would just bless them abundantly. I'm thankful for the pastors that you've placed in my life, Lord, and for the encouragement and help that they've been to me personally. I am thankful to pastor such an incredible church, Lord, and thankful for the words of encouragement and the love that's been shown to us as a family during this time of great difficulty. Father, we pray that you would just continue to speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, as a body of believers to support one another, to encourage one another, and to pray for one another at an unprecedented time in our lives. Father, we just ask that you would help us in these times, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts tonight, especially from your word, and that you would encourage us to recognize that even when our lives and homes seem so empty in such a time of desperation, it is then that the Holy Spirit is able to come in and fill us like never before. So, Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight in such an incredible way, and we'll praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Here we see a woman that is absolutely destitute. She is at the point of desperation. In verse 1, it says that she cries to the prophet. That word cries means to moan, to weep uncontrollably, to shriek out of grief. This word identifies that this woman has a broken heart. This woman has come to the man of God at the lowest moment of her life. She is in despair. She does not know what to do. She does not know where to turn. And she does all that she can do and comes to the man of God. She was married to one of the sons of the prophets. And as you know, Elisha was responsible for looking after the prophets and the preachers in Israel, carrying on the work from Elijah. And her husband had been taken away in death. And it's possible that Elisha knew this man quite well, because the widow says to Elisha, "You know that my husband feared God. You know the character of my husband. You know how my husband served you. You know what man he was and what he was like as a servant of the Lord. And now he's gone. I'm destitute. I can't pay the bills. I can't make ends meet. The creditors are knocking on the door." And under Jewish law, the creditors would have been allowed to come in and take her sins as collateral. They would then have to work off the debt. Leviticus 25 says, if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant. So she was about to lose her sins, and the sins would have to work to pay off the debt. And you notice the honesty of this woman. She comes to Elisha, and she just lays everything out. She is completely open and completely honest. She doesn't try to fool him. She simply tells him the truth. And oftentimes in our lives, we can't find it within ourselves to be honest with God. You know, we try and... how many times I've heard so far in all of this that, you know, we as British people, we've got a stiff upper lip, and, you know, we'll get through this. And, I was speaking to somebody yesterday, and they said, you know, sometimes we just want to say, I'm not coping. I'm not doing very well. You know, when we say, how's things? Yes, we're all right. We're doing okay. You know, we're soldiering on and we're plowing forward and, you know, we're keeping a smile on our face. And some days we don't feel okay. And you know what? It's all right to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, I'm in despair. Lord, I'm in distress. Lord, I'm anxious. Lord, help, take these feelings and these fears and these anxieties away from me. Because as we saw a couple of weeks ago, God's not given us the spirit of fear. But sometimes we just need to be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not coping. And Lord, I need an extra portion of your grace today. Lord, I need an extra bit of your strength today. I need a helping hand today. But we sometimes can't even be honest with the Lord in our time of need. In this woman's time of desperation, she turns to the man of God for help, and she reminds him what her husband did, that he feared the Lord. Her life has been a life of devotion to God. Her life has been a life of service to the Lord. There were things that she obviously gave up in order for her husband to be able to serve the Lord like he did. She hasn't stopped trusting the Lord. She still trusts him. She is still turning him for the things that she needs. And in spite of her pain, her problems, her lack of possibilities, she was still seeking God's help in a desperate situation. She couldn't see a way out. She couldn't understand why she was in the predicament that she was in, but she still believed in God, and she still believed that God could do something about her situation. As Christians, we just need to be honest with the Lord. You know, we can fool ourselves. We can convince ourselves that everything is all right spiritually. I'm okay, you know, it's only a little sin. Everybody does it, and it's not going to hurt. There's no harm, no foul. And, you know, we can convince ourselves that everything is hunky-dory. We can convince ourselves that everything is okay. And sometimes we just need to be honest. And we need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I need your direction at this crossroads in my life. Lord, I need your strength in this moment where I'm so weak. Lord, I need your encouragement in a time when I am completely and utterly discouraged. Lord, I need your light just to shine to point the way for this moment. So what can we learn from this widow's emptiness? Well, first of all, her emptiness actually provided a way for Elisha to minister to her. It's interesting how many ministries have been started because of the need of others. Many Sunday schools were started in this country because there was a need to teach illiterate children who weren't eligible to go to school. A lot of hospitals were started because Christians saw the need of people who couldn't afford to pay for healthcare. A lot of ministries have been started within the church because of the need of others. And Elisha asks the woman, well, what is it that I can do for you? First, God had to get her to admit what she didn't have. And then Elisha asks her the question, what do you need? What do you have? what do you need and what do you have? And by those two questions, this woman was made to see the size of her need and the smallness of her own resources. She needed everything and she had nothing. She needed much, but she could not meet her own needs. And oftentimes God uses trials and heartaches and the burdens of life to bring us to the place where we can honestly see our need and our inability to meet that need. Think about it. As long as we have everything, we can handle things. Why should we seek the Lord? As long as everything is going our way, why do we need to pray? As long as we've got everything we need, why do we need to pray to the Lord? I said this a couple of weeks ago when people started panic buying and, you know, we didn't know if we'd be able to have food because of the supply chain and what have you. I'll be honest, the time that we actually prayed a blessing over our food, we meant it. We were thankful, and I think for most of us, possibly for the first time in a long time when we prayed for our food, it was a genuine prayer of thanks because of the provision that God had granted us. Oftentimes, God will bring us to the place to see the smallness of what we have so that he can step in and provide in a way that we couldn't for ourselves. God taught this woman to trust. He taught this woman about humility. He taught it about obedience. What do you need was Elisha's first question. What do you have in your house was the second. God needed her to know that it might not have looked like she had much, but in reality, she already had everything that she needed right at home. She couldn't see it, but God had already provided that little bit of oil for her in the first place. If we have all the answers lined up for us, why do we need to seek the Lord? You know, there are moments now that we are going through where we don't have the answers. So what do? We actually turn to the Lord and say, right, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen in a few weeks' time. I don't know what's going to happen in the next few months. So, Lord, what are the answers? God taught this woman to trust. And we have to do that. We haven't got all the answers lined up. Why? Because we need to seek the Lord every single day. Her answer to Elisha was to tell him that all she had in the house was a pot of oil. Just a small flask. The word there, the pot, is literally a small pot that was used for anointing. It's not like, you know, she had a jar of extra virgin olive oil, you know, like a 2-liter jumbo size, you know, multi-pack type of thing. She had a small flask that was just used for anointing. That little flask of oil, maybe it sat in her house ever since her husband died. Maybe it was the oil that he had used in his time ministering for the Lord. But that little flask of oil would be the answer to her prayers. You know, little is much when God is in it. God has done something similar in the life of Elijah. You know, when the little widow gathering sticks met Elijah, and that little bit of oil and that little bit of a meal provided for her and her son. We know that God multiplied a little boy's lunch, just a few loaves and a few fish. Little is much when God is in it. And God has already given us everything that we need for this life. God has given us everything that we need to get our needs met. We look at our problems and they look so huge. We look at our possessions and they look so small. Yet we fail to factor God into the equation. What do we have then? Each and every one of us has oil. If you listened to Joe's message on the shield of faith last week, she talked about the oil and how they oiled the shield and how the oil was a picture in the scripture of the Holy Spirit. And each and every one of us has the Holy Spirit in our lives who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, Acts 1 said, the Lord Jesus Christ said, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We recognize that we have all that we need in our lives when we trust Christ as our Savior. He promised us he would not leave us comfortless, but he provided the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit dwells within each of us when we trust Christ as our Savior. Her emptiness provided a way for Elisha to minister to this woman. But her emptiness also provided or developed an attitude of humility within the widow's life. Being in a state of despair and desperation can be humbling. How many of us now in the situation we find ourselves in have had to ask somebody at some point for some help? And I know that, you know, parents asking children, parents who are self-isolating, having to ask their children, can you grab a pint of milk? Can you get some bread? Can you do the grind? I know that's humbling for a lot of people. It's humbling for us to be able to have to turn to somebody and say, can you get me something? Can you help me with this situation? And Elisha instructs this woman to go to her neighbors and friends to borrow these empty vessels. He said in verse 3, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. I wonder how many of those neighbors she'd already turned to for help. Maybe she'd borrowed off those neighbors before to get her out of this sticky situation that she found herself in. And, you know, for a lot of people, we find it difficult to ask for help. But God's admonition to us is for us to have a humble spirit. Likewise, younger Peter said, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast in all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You know, sometimes it's not about asking for help of other people. Sometimes the Lord just wants to humble us, so we'll turn to him for help. You know, I wonder if we've had that prideful attitude in the past, right? Don't need to pray to the Lord. You know, I don't need to ask him for help. I don't need to bother the Lord about that. Well, that's an attitude of pride, thinking that we can do things on our own. And sometimes if we struggle with pride, the Lord has an interesting way of bringing us down to planet Earth so that he can instill within us an attitude of humility. I read an interesting story about a legendary coach of the Miami Dolphins, a guy by the name of Don Shula. And he told this humorous story about himself and about humility. Shula, typically known to be a humble man, remembers a day when he let his humility slip. He and his wife had retreated to a small town in Maine. And to avoid being noticed, they went there for their holidays. While there, they went to see a movie on a messy, rainy night. And when Shula and his wife walked into the theater, the people began to applaud. The famous coach whispered to his wife, I guess there is no place we can go where people won't recognize me. When they sat down, Shula shook hands with the man on their row and said, I'm surprised that you knew who I am. The man looked at him and replied, am I supposed to know who you are? We were just glad you came because the manager said he wasn't going to start the movie unless there were 10 people in the theater. Just about the time that we think we are somebody special, the Lord reminds us that we're not. We're not that special that we can't humble ourselves to come before an almighty God in a time of need. Her emptiness developed the humility that she needed in her life. You know, maybe the Lord has brought us to this time of desperation in our lives so that we can humble ourselves and come before the throne of God. Maybe there are things in our lives that we've been too proud, if you like, to pray for, that we've been too proud to deal with. And the Lord has brought us to this point of emptiness in our lives so we can come before the throne of grace and say, okay, Lord, enough's enough. I understand what it is that you need me to do. I understand what it is that you need me to ask for. And Lord, I'm coming before you in a spirit of humility and just asking for your hand to be upon my life and just asking for your help to be heaped upon me because I am in desperate need. Her emptiness developed humility in her life. But her emptiness allowed God's power and provision to be seen. Her emptiness actually led to her trust in the Lord. They went out and they got all the vessels and they shut the door. And in verse 5, it says that they brought the vessels, her sons brought the vessels to her, and she poured the oil out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Can you imagine that scene? Just that tiny, tiny flask of oil. And one vessel after another is being brought in. And Mem is pouring the oil into these vessels. And you can imagine just a small pot. You imagine putting something that small and that filling something a lot bigger than it. And then another one. And then another one. And then another one. And then another one. And time and time and time again, she just kept filling and filling and filling and filling and filling. She fills up one after the other. God did exactly what he promised to do. Elisha said, if you grab these vessels and you take that oil, then those vessels would be full. And God did exactly what he said he would do. Why is it today when God promises us something that we fail to trust him? Why is it that we say, I know the Bible says, but I wish I could have the faith to believe. I wish I could trust in this word. Let me tell you something. If the word says it, if God has made us a promise, then that promise will come to pass. Then God will fulfill his word. If God has promised us that he will save us when we call upon his name, then he'll save us. Not because of who we are, not because of our ability and our trustworthiness to stay in the hand of God, but because of God's power and because of God's promise. If God has said it, God will bring it to pass. God made a promise to this woman and God fulfilled that promise. Can I say to you, if you are here tonight and you are lost in your sins, then God has promised you to save you if you call upon his name. Child of God, if you have called upon his name, then God has promised to keep you. And there's nothing the world can do, there is nothing the devil can do, and there is nothing that you can do to take you out of God's hand for God to break that promise that he made to you when you called upon his name. We can trust him. The woman did what she was told, and there was no longer an empty vessel. The oil stopped flowing. When the day was done, every vessel was filled. There was no limit on the amount of oil. The only limit was on the amount of vessels. As long as the vessels kept coming, the oil would keep flowing. Can I say there's no limit on the oil? There is no limit with God. There is no limit on the Holy Ghost. You know, when people say, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to get more of it. You got all of the Holy Spirit when you got saved. You can't get any more of the Holy Spirit. You got the lot at the point of salvation. Think of what we have in him. God's provision knows no limits. God is able to meet every need. God is able to move every mountain. God is able to solve every problem. His provision is limited by nothing but our faith. We have to continually present God with an empty vessel. Why? So that he can use it. You look at what happened with Peter when Peter emptied himself on the day of Pentecost. Christ had told him that he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would give him power to preach the word. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached with such power that thousands and thousands and thousands came to know Christ. Well, that same Holy Spirit that indwelt Peter to give him the power and the unction to preach on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that takes up residence in our lives today. What a difference. Peter was a different person on the day of Pentecost than he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. The steady flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives gives us the power and the victory and the joy and the fruitfulness. And that only stops flowing when we fail to provide the Lord with an empty vessel. The problem's not with the oil. The problem's with the availability of the vessel. When the day was ended, she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children on the rest." When the day was ended, what a lesson would be learnt. The neighbors would hear what God had done. This family would know what God had done. It was a public miracle. You know, I wonder if the people that she borrowed those vessels off, that when she returned those vessels, she sold back those vessels with the oil in it. A public miracle. There was enough oil in those borrowed vessels to settle her debts, to meet her needs, to supply for her children. And God's supply was far more than sufficient. Now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, when the Lord moves in power, the child of God receives a lesson in faith that can never be taken away from them. And we seem to learn far more in times of desperation than we do in times of prosperity. God may allow empty times for us in order to show us that he can take care of us, that he can meet our needs, that he can develop our faith, that we can trust him. The Lord might be developing traits in our lives so that we can help others, so that we could be a blessing to others in the future when God meets our needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You know, when Elisha told that woman to gather as many empty vessels as possible, in order to do that, she had to empty her house first to make room for as many vessels as possible. You know, we might go through times of desperation in order to empty things out of our lives that ought not have been there in the first place. There might be things in our lives that are getting in the way of God's blessing in our lives. There may be sinfulness in our hearts that we are holding on to that is hindering us from doing what God wants us to do. When we look at the widow, we find that she needed as many empty vessels as possible, and those vessels were the channels of blessings for her. Those jars that were taken and sold and used to meet the widow's needs. It's really interesting because what we notice about the empty jars is that they were not being used at all by their owners who lent them to the widow. And these jars found a new purpose. They were being put back into use to be a blessing. The emptiness of our situation, the emptiness of our time of desperation may provide a new purpose for us. The Lord might be speaking to us about how he can use us in the future when and if things return to normality. The Lord might have us in this time of desperation now so that he can use us to be an encouragement to others, that can find a new purpose in our lives. This emptiness at the moment may be God's tool to help someone else get involved in ministering to others. We see that with Elijah in 1 Kings 17. You know, Elijah is being fed by the ravens at the brook Kerith. And what happens then? After Elijah has been provided for, after, something ordinary has been used in an extraordinary way, after that in 1 Kings 17, Elijah then goes to the widow and is able to be a blessing to her. And you see that we can use, or we can be used in this situation that we find ourselves in now. And God can repurpose us. We don't know why we are facing what we're facing at this moment. We don't know why we're going through what we're going through. We can't fully comprehend why we're not allowed to be in church. You know, why we're on this lockdown, how long this lockdown is going to last for. I've viewed so many people saying, they said this lockdown will last for another year and it's going to be the end of next year before the vaccine. But we don't know. But the Lord doesn't want us to understand it. The Lord just wants us to trust him. And maybe in this moment of desperation, maybe right now you are feeling empty. Maybe you are feeling spent. Maybe you are feeling like, I don't have anything to offer. In this time of desperation, you already have the oil you need in the house. It's right there. Nobody's going to bulk buy it so that it's going to be out of stock. It's right there in the house right now. You have all the oil you need. Maybe God will use this time in your life for you to recognize that he can provide, that he is true to his word, that he won't ever leave you or forsake you, that you can feel his presence right now, that you can go before him because he'll develop within us an attitude of humility so we can come before his throne to obtain mercy and to find help in a time of need. And maybe in the quietness, the Lord will be able to speak to you as an empty vessel and say, when this is all done, I've got a job for you. I need you to be a blessing to somebody else. Nothing happens by accident. There are no mistakes when it comes to God. There is a purpose for what is going on around us right now. And maybe we could use this time to trust the Lord, to see his hand moving in a way that we have never seen moving before. And maybe God will use us in a way like we've never been used before. A vessel worthy of honor. Not because of the vessel itself, but because of the oil that flows through it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight, for this opportunity to come around your word. And Father, I pray for each person that's listening to this message tonight. Would you help us, Lord? Would you encourage us through your word? Father, we can trust your word. We can hold on to your promises. And Father, I pray that you'd help us do just that in a time of desperation. Father, each and every one of us is facing a future that the world would say is uncertain. But we know what tomorrow holds, because our Savior has already been there. And our Savior is leading the way. So Father, help us not to worry about tomorrow, but help us to trust the one who has already journeyed tomorrow's path. Father, I pray that you would use us as empty vessels and allow the oil of the Holy Spirit, as it were, to flow through us, to be a blessing to somebody else, so that we might give the words of hope and encouragement that they need in a time of desperation. Father, we love you and we praise you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And we'll sing our last hymn together, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and we'll stand as we sing. Father, we are thankful again for this time together tonight. Thank you so much, Lord, for an incredible church, Lord, for just the opportunity to pastor such an amazing flock. And Father, I pray that you would continue to meet with us in such a wonderful way. Father, I pray you would continue to speak to our hearts. And Father, what a joy it would be that the day that we finally get together to worship in this place once again, Father, but that pales into insignificance as to the joy that it will be to be able to sing songs of praise in your presence in glory. So, Father, I just pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, that you would continue to encourage our hearts and for us to realize that you've not left us here comfortless. You've not left us here on our own devices. You've not left us here alone. And you've promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. And, Father, I'm thankful. Just in those days as a young child to feel the grip of Mum or Dad's hand, Lord, I'm thankful for the fact that when we're afraid, we simply have to reach up our hand and we can feel the firm grip of our Heavenly Father. So, Father, I pray that you would continue to help us in these days ahead and that as a result of us being the vessels that we can be used by you, that we would be a witness to somebody else, that we would be a help to somebody else, that we would be an encouragement to somebody else. Father, we continue to pray for Felino and the family, Lord, and just ask your hand a blessing upon him and for baby Isaac, for all of our congregation, Lord, for those who have a specific need. You know what that need is, Lord. You know the hearts of each one gathered online this evening, Father, and I just pray that you would undertake in such an incredible way. Father, I pray that you would just help those who are recovering from surgery, help those who are waiting for surgery, Father, help those who are struggling, Lord, with whether it's thoughts or difficulties they're facing with that battleground of the mind. And I just pray, Lord, that you would undertake in such an incredible way, that you would answer prayers in this week. And as we come together on Wednesday in our prayer meeting, Lord, we'd be able to hear it of the way in which you've answered these prayer requests. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for this opportunity to be in church. Father, we just ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.